welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Visa, a network working for everyone. Myself and Brandon Funston also working without Michael Beller for one more show for everyone out there while he's finishing up his wonderful Hawaiian vacation. And here's the problem, Funston, is he can come back and talk about how Notre Dame lost to Cincinnati now. Although Wisconsin did lose again, so I still have that over top of him. And now it doesn't look like a good loss for either one of them. Like, Wisconsin, it doesn't look like a good loss because Notre Dame lost to Cincinnati. Notre Dame doesn't look like a good win because Wisconsin's now lost two in a row.
But he'll win the argument because he'll be tanner.
I mean, he went to Hawaii. Like, there's no comeback from that.
Exactly. Really.
Here's how I'm going to set up week four for this recap show, Brandon. Is what is your single? If somebody said, hey, I missed week four, what's the first thing I should go look at? What's the most notable thing out of week four that you noticed?
Honestly, there's a few things. There's a few minor things that just stick in my craw. I would say one. Like Alvin Kamara.
Okay, Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara, no, zero targets. It kills me. It's like, what is going on in New Orleans in a game, in a world that for 60 minutes you don't target Alvin Kamara one time?
The funny thing was is you put a note down about Alvin Kamara and you put zero targets. And this is where my brain is at now. You have I almost said it, WTF. And I saw it and I was like, are they playing Washington this week? I don't think they are. Like, because I said WFT.
Right, exactly.
Like, just like that's where my brain goes now because it's football season. I was like, they don't play Washington, do they? And so I was checking.
I've fantasized about a WFT.
That is this week,
WTF,
though.
WTF,
it is actually, it's
mark.
New Orleans, yeah. At Washington. Like, I was thinking it was next week. It is this week. Week five. They are playing Washington. But I want to talk about Alvin Kamara, and I'm glad you brought that up because I want to talk about that game in general. But Casey Joyner, you know this, wrote an article last week for everybody on the site. Go check it out. He cautioned that Alvin Kamara could be a sell high because the workload and given his frame that he could wear down. Casey Joyner wasn't trying to predict injury. He's just trying to predict performance, efficiency, and being worn down. The fact that Alvin Kamara is on pace to out-touch himself by about 50, almost 60 over the course of a full season from his previous career high. And so this is twofold, Brandon, to look at here. Kamara on a record-breaking pace for himself of touching the ball, but on top of it, zero in the passing game. And now, I don't know if you know this, Funston, 10 receptions through 4 weeks. Derrick Henry, way higher than him. Kyle Juszczyk has more receptions than him. Jeremy Nichols has more receptions than him. James White just missed a game, has more receptions than him. How concerned are you? And you can say it's both of those factors. How concerned from like a 1 to 10 are you on Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, I don't want him. You know, Michael Salfino always says this. He does the math. Like in full PPR, like a target, a reception is worth like four times a carry for a running back. Like that's been the beauty. You know, Kamara's been 80 catches.
He's on pace
four straight
for 42,
seasons. Every
43.
Season. Yeah, he's on. That's just not. That's just wasting, you know, maybe the supreme receiving talent at the running back position in the league. I can't imagine that Sean Payton is willing to let this continue. You know, we talked about how, oh, you look at the four games that Taysom Hill was like the main quarterback last year, and he couldn't throw to Alvin Kamara. I remember Larry Holder was saying, like, Taysom Hill has legitimate problems making a screen pass to a running back by turning his body and making that throw. And then we're like, oh, okay, well, Jameis Winston will be better for him in that regard. There has been some history of him throwing to the running backs at times, and I'm sure it'll be a mandate from Sean Payton. Well, here we are four weeks in, and it's apparently not a mandate. You know, and that's a problem. That's a problem because I don't want a 20-some carry rushing Alvin Kamara. Well, like that was a nice game for him in reality, but like that wasn't really a very good fantasy game, and he went well over 100 yards rushing.
Part about it. It's like even with all this work, he's still 12th at running back on the season. 12th. So here's where I'm going to turn it to you. Similar running back concern, but has a bigger thorn in his side, but who ranks 1, 2, 3, 6 spots in front of him on the season. Would you rather have Nick Chubb or Alvin Kamara the rest of the way? And you hesitated. For everybody that's on podcast version, Funston's thinking about it. It's funny. I asked a question to Meany, and I said, your hesitation answers my question. I presented a completely different player. I said Alvin Kamara or Najee Harris. He did the same thing, a giant sigh of hesitation. But that's my point, is Alvin Kamara is definitively not top four for any of us. And that's whether we want to debate, and I don't want to get into that, Brandon, because we could sit here all day and say, oh, Alvin Kamara versus Najee Harris. Let's look at this kid. Alvin Kamara versus... The point is, the real takeaway is Alvin Kamara preseason was definitively top four. It was like there's a whole other group behind him. Now that he's in that conversation, if somebody still treats him as a top five running back and you can trade Alvin Kamara for Joe Mixon and a piece to improve elsewhere, or maybe it's a two for two and it's not just a free piece, but are you getting out from underneath Alvin Kamara? Because I say getting out from underneath because it feels to me like it's only potential downfall from here, because the workload could get scaled back. And if it's scaled back, he's not even an RB1. The workload doesn't improve in the passing game. It never gets better. And as it is today, he's still only RB12.
Yeah, you know, I play this game where I'm like, okay, you just lost a home game to the New York Giants. What's going on here? Like, what aren't we
using
doing?
Anybody else? You know, that might be the answer. And that's what I'm saying. That might be the concern.
But you're also not using Alvin Kamara in the passing game like you have in the past. Sure. And that's something you could circle as well. And this is the first game he hasn't had at least three catches. I mean, and it's like, you know, he's in the previous three games, he did have two receiving touchdowns. Like, and that's been a part of the offense. Like, I feel like you go after this game when you're kind of doing the postmortem on it and you go, okay, that was a mistake. We can't have that happen. Alvin Kamara, you know, he only had 10 catches in the first three games, but he scored two touchdowns. He's very effective when he's catching the ball.
I'm in your league.
Okay.
I don't give you any context, which please, everybody out there, when you send trade offers, at least open up the conversation, text inside the message, whatever it is, send something behind it. Don't try to, there's a line to walk here. Don't convince the person to take the trade, because then that person's immediately, you're not fooling anybody. Like, don't try and sit there like, this is why you should take it. You could say, this is why I was thinking this could help us, like open the conversation up. So Funston, but I send this to you without context. I send you a trade offer, Funston, and it's Joe Mixon and Allen Robinson for Alvin Kamara. Do you take it?
I think I do. I mean, was there enough of a heartbeat there with Allen Robinson that I'm starting to, you know, think, okay, it could have been Robinson instead of Darnell Mooney with the 100 plus yards. At least Justin Fields. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I am, because right now I'm not really seeing Mixon as being that huge of a downgrade.
Okay, let's.
But I'm also saying that, thinking that they're going to go back to Kamara in the passing
game.
Let
me jump into the next conversation that you put down here. I already had this as something to talk about as well, because this is a concern. Let me put it this way. Miles Sanders and Allen Robinson, two super buy lows. Super, super buy lows versus Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, it's not even close. I would keep.
How legitimately concerned? Yeah. And you know this, Brandon. And this, I said the same thing on the other show. In case people coming over from that one, which I appreciate the people that do, especially Alex. Alex jumps from one show to the next. But I've said this to not victory lap, because I admitted that things can change. And I said, Miles Sanders, you know this. We've talked about him ad nauseum in the preseason. I said everything that the Eagles have told me is that they don't want to use him as a bell cow. They don't want to use him that much in the passing game. Week one rolled around, and I said, okay, maybe I was a little bit wrong. Maybe they are going to. Maybe they are just, we're trying to keep him ready for the season or whatever it might be. But that was just 1 week out the window, just like Josh Jacobs last year. Barely on the field, and Chris brought this up to me, and I'll see if you agree, Funston, is that Miles Sanders seems to only be usable, like startable, in games you think they could win.
I was just going to say that, because, I mean, they've lost the last three. They've lost convincing the last two. Miles Sanders, you know, it's basically been a vanishing act. And you know, it seems like Kenneth Gainwell gets, you know, a little bit more run when things are getting out of hand. So, and the problem is Philly seems to be getting worse. Their injuries are mounting up. It feels like a replay of last year. And now I start to wonder, well, how often are they going to be competitive? So, yeah, I don't know that this is a buy low time for Miles Sanders. It might just be that this is kind of, you know, the track that he's going to be on this year, and it's not going to change a whole lot. I'm seriously worried about that.
So let me go backwards now, and I want to talk about the other side of the ball in those games. Actually, real quick on the Eagles side of it, are you dropping Jalen Reagor if you have him still? Are you giving up hope at this point?
Probably, because, I mean, you know, if you're talking like your standard 12-team league, like there's so many guys right now at the wide receiver position that are attractive. Like, I would rather go with the production.
Well, I'm saying that this is good. This is good.
Production.
Because I'm going to another
know?
Game, and I'll start with a player on that team, even though that's not the highest level of takeaway from that game. Let's go back to the Saints game. Would you drop Jalen Reagor for Kadarius Toney?
Yeah. Because, listen, like, are you feeling like Jalen Reagor is at his best, is winning you fantasy games week in and week out? Like I feel like this is like, why not? It's such low hanging, you know, it's such low impact right here. You might as well go with somebody who's making a positive impact in the moment instead of waiting for somebody who might help you at times, you know, and is in a bad situation. So, yeah, Kadarius Toney in his first meaningful game, you know, 9 targets, 84 yards, is a guy that, you know, can do some Percy Harvin-ish stuff where sometimes he might add on some rushing stuff and they can move him around. Yeah, he's interesting to me. And, you know, Daniel Jones. This is the year of Daniel Jones.
Well, no, yeah, for fantasy.
You just want to be in Daniel Jones' orbit.
For fantasy purposes, yeah. I mean, that's really Daniel Jones, QB1. Just like, so they're part of the reason I put him in the dumpster dive article was I referenced what you just kind of alluded to, is that last year everybody was drafting him as a fringe QB1, not even so much because of his passing acumen, but because he was going to run for 500 or 600 yards. And he's a dual threat to a degree. You know, let's go back 10 years. The definition of dual threat is Daniel Jones. Like, he's not dual threat of the Lamar Jackson, Kyler right. Murray, but 10 years ago, we're like, oh my God, he's one of the best dual threats in the league.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, and what, he had 26 rushing yards. That's kind of becoming his
chipping
floor,
in a half touchdown.
You know, like you, yeah. And, you know, he can, when we see him, he can get you push 100 yards on good days, but like 26, you know, a half touchdown going in. Take that.
All right,
absolutely.
So that being said, is Kenny Galladay back? Is he finally back? It just took some time.
Well, I mean, you know, Sterling Shepard was out. Darius Slayton was out. He was kind of forced. You know, you got Kadarius Toney, who's a rookie, very inexperienced. Of course, Kenny Galladay is going to show up.
Of course.
But, well, not of course. But, yeah, no, this is to the point that speaks well of the Giants. They went on the road against a good defense and put up production. Like, that bodes well for Daniel Jones, and by the way, like Saquon again.
I was just about to get onto that. You know, so let me pause real quick because I'm about to come after somebody in the chat. Just suddenly, you know, heads up. The Kadarius Toney thing, I'm intrigued in. The waiver column will be out tomorrow, actually tonight at midnight on The Athletic, if everybody check that out. But yeah, I say Toney maybe-ish. I was actually surprised Colin Johnson got kicked.
Yeah, I mean, what happened
Colin Johnson
when all
got
these guys are
fifth.
Coming back?
I was shocked. I immediately didn't think that was going to happen at all. You know, he showed up well, and again, they got hurt in that game, but you would say, hey, he replaces Slayton. He got kicked the fifth, and John Ross is out there. The Toney situation.
John Ross!
The thing that Toney,
John Ross.
Like, I like Toney until both are back. Like, if Shepard and Slayton are both back, right. He's just not going to play over them. But if Shepard's only back, I'm actually concerned about Shepard because they're going to push him outside, like last year. But if Slayton's back and Shepard's not, Toney just keeps his role either way. So that all being said is the Barkley value probably at its peak after the New Orleans game. Would he fetch top running back value? He didn't peak. Get the hell out of here. This is exactly what we wanted for Saquon Barkley. He's back. Like, Saquon Barkley is not a peak top five. He's a peak top three running back. He is the one person that eclipsed Christian McCaffrey on a per touch or per game basis 2 years ago, rookie seasons, but he barely outscored Christian McCaffrey on a per game basis. He is in the conversation. Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, I guess we can't even stop that. You're going to use him in the passing game. Saquon Barkley, end of conversation in that tier, not peak. This is, he's back. Like, sorry, Jiggles, but no.
Ezekiel Elliott?
I would start, same thing in preseason. I start him in the next tier. That was Alvin Kamara and Ezekiel start the next group for me.
Yeah. Now, Kamara, right? Like,
Kamara was in a tier of his own for
or
me.
Or was it, were you already?
For me, preseason was Cook, McCaffrey, and Henry, and then I said Kamara on his own in an island, and then start the next group with Zeke, and then Saquon was in that group, but I said Saquon because October, 100%, I called it. Boom. I should run around the room. I should just do laps and cartwheels and stuff like, go grab Barkley, but she's sleeping over there and just looking at me because I'm yelling a lot about Barkley. She probably thinks she did something wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we all thought that it would take a little while, you know, coming back from ACL. It's funny how, you know, a lot of the reporting for that was right on that. You know, we were upset with a lot of the preseason reporting on a lot of things, but there was a lot of people that were like, look, at Saquon Barkley is not going to be full Saquon Barkley. And some people were saying until October. I actually think, you know, it's been faster than I've heard
the
a
last
lot of
week
people
of September.
Try to
last
throw
it's
out
week
there
four.
For Barkley.
This is four games. That's what we hit. It's honestly.
I was hearing people say that, yeah, you're not going to get full Saquon until October. And he's been full Saquon the last 2 weeks. So it was only a 2 week kind of.
No,
hiatus.
I saw, heck, full October. I saw some people say until 2022. Like, that, it's just going to be like, you might get 80-90% of him for the rest of the season. And like, that was, by the way, Dan Dugan, I mentioned this on the other show. I just want to keep throwing it out here because it's a shocking number, even to me. Dan Dugan tweeted this out yesterday. That was Barkley's second fumble of his career.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't
That's
it?
Crazy. That's crazy.
Second of his career.
Yeah, I didn't realize
and
that.
And he said he doesn't know what happened. It just squirted out of his hands. So let's talk more some more running backs. I thought you might go this way because the one that I think everybody has, at least inside their top three of takeaways from week four, is Cordarrelle Effing Patterson. And I say that with like the...
Yes.
Here, I want to see if you agree. So I'm not going to go full in depth in case people are coming over from the other show as I recommended. But I said Cordarrelle Patterson, if you learn nothing else from the first 2 weeks of Rondell Moore, that's what we're doing. Yes, they find ways every single week to get him the ball. Was almost a third of the snaps. They had over 70 snaps. He was out there for 25. He can't be producing this level every single week. His touchdown rate is like 20%, Funston. What are you doing with Cordarrelle Patterson?
Well, here's the problem. Like, how do you keep it? Like, it wasn't like he just got like these
abs.
That's
the same
like
thing people said about Rondell in the first two games. How do we keep him off the field?
Well, I said that too. You know, I'm guilty of that. But like, look at the one touchdown. He high pointed the ball and didn't even bring it down to his body. He just held it up there and secured it with his hands. It was like a corner, alley oop. The other one, he totally juked the guy. I mean, he's a weapon in the red zone. I think that's going to continue no matter what. They get in the red zone, they want Cordarrelle Patterson out there. I think he's going to be a guy that if he doesn't score a touchdown, there's going to be weeks where he's going to give you next to nothing. But
James
I think
White.
He's kind. Yeah, I think he's a, you know, he's a better version of James White in terms of fantasy for sure. But the red zone role is just going to continue because he's. I think he is. Yeah. I mean, first of all, because he's going to run the ball typically more than James White would. I mean, I know
it's
only
it's
like
about
six
the same
or
amount of touches is what I'm going with here. It's the same amount of touches, and James White's
it?
Were all
didn't he
coming.
Have, like, how many catches did he have yesterday? It was like seven or something, or eight. I mean, he's
for Patterson.
Let's see. He had five catches. So, yeah, he's went 5-6-5, and he's carried basically an average of about seven times per week. So he's getting right around a dozen touches per week. I feel like James White's more like your...
Yeah, and James White had 6-6 through the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, he's a better touchdown scorer than James White.
No, but that's my... So James White, first week, 6 for 49 and 4 for 12 in the game, 9.1. Second week, 6, 5 for 20 in the run game. 15.5 because he scored a touchdown.
Well, I think I ranked him like RB30 this week. That's where I'm going to be most weeks, and that's like a better version of James White because James White I typically throw in like my mid-30s at RB, kind of like as a back-end RB3. I don't see myself ever putting him in.
Is that fair, though? But because the reason we have James White where we had James White is because any given week could be those seven touches for 30 yards. How is that much different? I'm generally asking, how is that much different than Cordarrelle Patterson if he doesn't score a touchdown?
Because there's more touchdown upside with Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, he's a... I mean, there is. Like, they're looking for ways to use...
No, that's... I'm not saying you're wrong to say that. I'm just curious.
That's why I give him a higher bump. I'm not giving him, like, I'm giving him, like, half of a RB tier bump, you know? Like, from mid-RB3 to... top, you know, towards the top of the RB3 class. I don't see myself ever putting him in the top 25, but I see myself some weeks, you know, I'm probably going to be living in that late 20s to early 30s range with him.
Okay. Do you know what happens in week five? It's the first time it's going to happen this season. It took 4 weeks for it to happen.
It's not buys.
No. It's something that has to do with players. It has something to do with players in the NFL draft.
Tell me.
First time all five rookie quarterbacks are going to be starting in the same week. Not played, but starting.
Look at that.
So you're going to Trey Lance. Finally is the starter. Also, similar to Justin Fields, not by losing job situation, but by injury. Although, unlike Justin Fields, Garoppolo might not be coming back to a job like Andy Dalton has been. Nagy keeps saying, Andy Dalton has the job when he's healthy. Andy Dalton has the job. So, but unless Trey Lance just goes super belly up, this looks to be his job. It's Trey Lance time is here. Yes, Funston. Like, are you, put it this way, single quarterback league, Trey Lance top 15 rest of the way? Yes or no?
That's his top. He was QB 16 in two quarters. You know, like he had 40 rushing yards and a half. Here's the deal. I watched the entire.
You look pretty bad at times in that
game. He looked terrible. And Michael Salfino wrote it in his article, and it's true. It's like he struggles to throw a spiral. You know, and Deebo Samuel was wide open, and Deebo Samuel was wide open by maybe 30 yards, and he had to stop and wait for the ball to get there. It was like wounded ducking its way.
We were watching that and joking the fact that Deebo ran so hard after catching it because he had to wait so long for the ball to get there. Like, he would have been able to coast into the end zone, but he had to take off in a full sprint because the ball took forever to get there.
It's true. And, you know, even his laser throws, you know, I remember the announcer commenting about it, but the ball still wobbles, and he's got some... got some issues with that, and he's got some issues with accuracy, but he also can make big plays. I think they're going to get killed by Arizona. I honestly do. I think he's going to get exposed for everything that is wrong with him this week, and then maybe – who are they playing after that?
I don't know. I don't have their schedule on tap, but I could check while I also go to this question.
He has a bye week, and then it's Indy, so I think Indy could be a smash game for him. I honestly do. Coming off of a bye week –
Cardinals again, Rams, Jaguars, Vikings – but you didn't answer the question.
Okay, so here's the problem: if they're losing
for fantasy,
they're losing, Garoppolo comes back. Like, it's so that's my worry. Like, I feel like Garoppolo is more of a threat to come back than Andy Dalton is.
Really, yeah. I still think Andy Dalton, because he's going to put him back at quarterback because he said so. But that's where I agree with you. This is why I didn't think Trey Lance was starting this year. Because I said, if they're competitive, they're not benching Garoppolo. They have playoff aspirations. They have title aspirations. It's not happening. But if they're winning at a 67% clip, I'm not saying they have to go undefeated, but if they're winning more than they're losing, I don't know if they go back to Garoppolo, because it's working and they get Lance.
Yeah, I agree. If they're winning two out of every three, they're going to stick with Lance, because they just use a top three pick on him. And yeah, exactly. And he is their future. And if you're winning two out of three now, they might as well keep him in there and try to get that, you know, percentage up going forward.
So then, real quick, out of the, before we move on from this one, is Ayuk droppable at this point?
I think so. I mean, I watched that whole game, and he hardly showed up on my screen. He did
early.
Yeah,
I actually thought he got hurt early because he kind of took a lick. It wasn't that bad, but he did. And then,
well, his helmet got knocked off. You know,
but he disappeared, and then it was more the fact that he just disappeared, period, because Trent Sherfield was out there a ton again. Is this Shanahan doing the running back situation with his wide receivers?
Feels like. I mean, I was looking, he still had, what, Ayuk had like 58 or something snaps?
Still second most snaps, yeah.
Second, or 53, and Deebo had 68, but yeah, I mean, I was like, I think I finished like at wide receiver 24 on Ayuk in my rankings. I was so bullish on this being the game for him, and it just wasn't.
I had Ayuk inside my top 32. I apologize to everybody. I thought it was just getting back to health, and he looked good the week before. And he was getting involved, and then Shanahan pulled the Shanahanigans with his wide receivers, but I don't think he's doing it with his running backs anymore. What did we talk about on Thursday? We were talking about rookies and pass blocking and all that type of stuff. And I jokingly said there was a giant, I forget who tweeted it, but it's like Bill Belichick was talking about pass blocking with running backs in general. And it was like two pages worth of an answer that he went through. I was like, you could have just listened to the podcast on Thursday. I tweeted you in it. And I said, you could have just listened to the podcast with me and Funston. I did this in about 1 minute, just quick answer version.
Exactly.
Of it. But the biggest takeaway is that Sermon in college was not with a quarterback under center, which is where Garoppolo runs. And now, with Lance being a boon to Sermon, as I said, is very likely a potential for him. But again, expecting Lance to be further down the road than now and immediately. But as we saw in this game, look how good Sermon looked. If you had to say your trust level with Shanahanigans, Funston, I'm ready to get bitten. I'm ready to have it come back and just, you know, watch me get 2 points. But I'm 7-8 out of 10 on Sermon is the guy.
Yeah, I kind of am too. I mean, first of all, as you mentioned, just the change of style between Lance and Garoppolo. And I also felt like, you know, even if they went back to Garoppolo, like Sermon's kind of done enough here now. And because of the injury and the health worries about Elijah Mitchell going forward, that he's at least played his way into the old school kind of Shanahan split. But I feel like he's here to stay in the sense that he's no worse than a platoon running back going forward. And we've been interested in a platoon Trey Sermon all along.
Yeah. All right. A lot of Mike Davis people in here, so I want to talk about him. I know we didn't talk about him in that game. Mike Davis still over 50 snaps, still getting plenty of targets and touches because he is getting used in the passing game. Is Mike Davis just, he's an RB3 and like just like, I don't even know how to phrase this, Brandon, because I feel like this is what we kind of expected with Mike Davis, but is it the Cordarrelle Patterson is just because of what he's doing, it's making it look worse? Because I don't think anybody was saying, oh, Mike Davis, top 15 running back.
No. I think I actually had him as high as 17 at one point, though. And I might have finished at like RB19 going into the year.
There you go. Do you start Kenneth Gainwell over Mike Davis?
Let's see. Who's Philly playing? They're playing Carolina. No, I'm going Mike Davis at home against the Jets. You know, it's a game where I can, you know, regardless of the fact that Jets beat Tennessee, like I can imagine it's competitive. It's a little bit more of your standard. But either way, Mike Davis is getting 15 touches plus a week, you know, or the pluses maybe is like 16. He never strays too far from that.
That's a very small plus.
And he scored a touchdown and I'm gonna follow that volume. For as good as Kenneth Gainwell's looked, he's still like a 9-touch guy most weeks, you know. And it's close. It is close. I mean, there's more of a ceiling right now with Gainwell. I like Kenneth Gainwell. I'm gonna stick with Davis this week.
Well, so do the Eagles, obviously.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about another running back situation. Which, look, at the top, we said from day one, as soon as all the injuries happen, like, hey, Tyson Williams could be in the Myles Gaskin situation and that he's the lead, but it's never more than like 50%.
Well, we got to talk about both of these guys then. We got to talk about Gaskin too.
I was gonna pick. Yeah, you got ahead of me there. Myles Gaskin. And we're
going
to bring
done
in
Miles
the Dolphins.
And Miles, you know, that would have been fun too. We could have done a Sanders and Gaskin combo, you know. But
would you walk 500 miles?
I would not. Constantly? I would not.
You would not come visit me? You don't love me that much?
500 miles won't even get me close to you. So,
where would that put you? Like Colorado, maybe?
Gosh, that would put me like somewhere in Idaho, I think.
Okay. I went a little bit further south. But anyway, so let's stick with the one for now. Tyson Williams it's not even just the 50%. We were coming out of week 3. And I think we agreed and said we would start Latavius Murray over Tyson Williams. I had Latavius Murray over Tyson Williams in the rankings, but where I said this is like, I still thought Tyson was going to be involved. Healthy scratch. Le'Veon Bell's active. This is the only answer. It's like not Tyson Williams. Actually, Le'Veon Bell might be part of your answer here. What's your trust level that Latavius is now the guy? Is Latavius an RB2?
I don't know. I mean, he's probably RB2. He might get into my RB.
Davis or Latavius Murray?
I'll take Mike Davis.
Really?
Yeah, I will.
I would take Latavius.
No, I think they're going to continue to rotate in Le'Veon and maybe gets more and more work. And there's no passing game upside at all with Latavius Murray. Doesn't matter who's out there. Lamar Jackson doesn't throw to his running backs. Doesn't matter.
I was going to say, how much passing game upside do we ever really need in Baltimore anyway?
Yeah, he's gonna get a touchdown every once in a while, but the yardage, when you get 100 yards from Latavius Murray, like
I don't need him. When we ever get 100 yards from Mark Ingram,
I don't know. I feel like Baltimore is like,
where's Beller to make this a dollar bet on the side?
Once every couple weeks, Latavius scores. Most weeks he gets you 60 yards and nothing.
And that's why you brought up the touchdown upside of Cordarrelle Patterson. I think the touchdown upside is potentially weekly with Latavius Murray.
Yeah, but I mean, Le'Veon Bell, Devonta Freeman. Okay, fine, whatever. We can argue.
I
think
why
the bigger thing is like you have to waive Tyson Williams. He's gone, right? Like, there's
no question. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no.
Okay.
He's super gone.
Whether I rank Latavius Murray 23 or 28 at running back each week is a small potatoes thing to me.
Well, so are you waving? Are you going back and walking those miles? Are you waving Miles Gaskin? Like, the Dolphins backfield, is that completely toast? Are we done with anybody back there?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I want Miles Gaskin with Tua. Like, to me, those two work well together, and things could change in this offense when Tua's back. So I'm
so
benching.
You're not trying?
Why are you gonna get anything for him? He's waivable.
No,
for,
I said drop. I said waivable.
I'm not gonna drop him. I'm gonna bench him.
Would you drop for?
And I'm couching this in like 12 team league half.
Okay,
PPR.
No, that's sure. But would you drop Gaskin to go pick up Gainwell?
If I'm not gonna plan on starting either one of those guys, and it's just who I want on my bench, I'm gonna keep Gaskin.
Okay. Would you drop him for Darrell Williams after just seeing what happened with David Montgomery?
No. You mean Damian Williams?
No. I was saying Darrell because I know you would drop him for Damian Williams if Damian Williams was inexplicably out there. That's what I was saying. But after seeing what could potentially happen, like if something happened to Edwards-Helaire, imagine what Darrell Williams could do. So that's what I was saying. Would you drop Gaskin to go get Williams in the stash for more upside? Because you said they're on your bench.
Right, but that's kind of like the Alexander Mattison questions, like, do you want the...
That's why I'm asking it.
I'm sticking with Gaskin over Darrell Williams.
Okay.
Yeah, so... But what's your take on David Montgomery? Like, how many weeks do you think he's going to be out? Couple?
I'm not a doctor. I'm not pretending to be one.
I know. Like, I wonder if you had heard anything, because I haven't. It's like...
No, we're still waiting. Inside injury said it looks like he apparently avoided major injury, but...
What's a hyperextended knee?
They said yesterday
knee?
It could be... MCL, could be ACL, could be, you know, it's sprain, it could be a partial, like whatever. So it's going to have to be a wait and see. It sounds like it's at least a few games at minimum.
Okay.
So, yeah that's two, 3 weeks at minimum? I don't know. I'm trying to see. I was looking for their tweet. Yeah, that's basically what they're saying. It's just wait and see what the reports are.
Yeah, he's having an MRI today. So today being Monday.
Okay. So we'll have to see on that one. We'll talk about the rankings later in the week on Thursday, as we always do when Belair's back. Yay! Backfield. I don't remember, Brandon. Were you in agreement with me on the James Conner, Chase Edmonds, or were you in the Chase Edmonds camp?
I always gave a little lead to Chase Edmonds. You know, I was probably
but a little. You were saying they should be close. I'm trying to remember.
Ish,
I know
close ish. I wasn't doing the back to back thing, but like I was like. I think I was like RB30 on Chase Edmonds and RB36 on James Conner.
Oh, so they're pretty close.
Yeah, not like a
so
huge.
So you're pretty much in par in lockstep with what that was in my entire argument. They should just
and that's exactly the argument that was made. It's like James Conner is scoring touchdowns, which, you know, we figured.
And he's the lead.
Yeah.
He's getting the 40, 50, 60 rushing yards, very little passing game work, and he gets the touchdown opportunities. Chase Edmonds is more valuable in the passing game.
Right.
And continues to be so. They've both done well. James Conner is actually a top 10 running back the past 2 weeks. Why? Well, top five, because he has four touchdowns. How bankable is this? Because I tweeted this out yesterday when I was on True Media pulling these stats. Blowing away the competition the past 2 weeks with seven rushes inside the 10 and five of those coming in goal to go. Nobody else has more than five and three, or I forget. You have to go back and look for the tweet. But anyway, when they get close, you are right and wrong about Kyler Murray in the same vein is the fact that Kyler Murray is still running, but the one part he's not is he's not running inside the 10 and inside the five as much as he used to. He's not getting 11 rushing touchdowns at this rate. So how bankable, to go back to the question, is James Conner right now?
Well, to your question, it's like, you know, these guys might end up being close to even in the backfield production for the year, but Chase Edmonds is the week-to-week safety net because he's been in every game a double-figure half PPR scorer, whereas James Conner needs these goal-to-go situations, and that's where he's been, you know, going crazy the first 2 weeks. He was a combined. He didn't even get to eight combined total points. So
right. You're
going to have more peaks and valleys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How much weight are you putting in this?
Well, I'm saying that. I mean, I'm saying I'd much rather have Chase Edmonds, and that I, even though they are the same, I actually might view them a lot more differently right now in favor of Chase Edmonds.
James Conner or Mike Davis?
Mike Davis.
Oh gosh, no! Give me the. I don't care. I'll take the guy attached to the top offense in the league.
You'll get the guy that can score 20 or two.
Yeah, it's that would drive me crazy. I don't have any shares of James Conner, so thankfully.
James Conner or Myles Gaskin? If Myles Gaskin is your bench, and are you dropping Gaskin to go get James Conner?
It's just the Washington Husky bias inside of me, but I'm sticking with Gaskin. You're not, are you? You're out on Gaskin, I can tell.
I'm out on this entire backfield. I agree with you that Tua could be back, but it goes back to Tampa Bay when everybody's healthy. You know, Geo's not in the mix now, but the point being why is, okay, let's say Gaskin has a good game this week. Can you definitively with confidence say you can trust him again the week after that? No, that's why this is where that Patriots games part of the waiver article came from. You remember that, Fonz? It's Patriots games. It's like, when are you ever going to say, I'm confident in starting blank from the backfield?
When they decide, when they've run, you know, Malcolm,
but indeed, like,
when they've run Malcolm
row.
Brown into a brick wall over and over again, and they just decide, okay, enough of the Malcolm Brown experience. We can move on from that. Like, you know, like the Rams did last year. And you know, it's like Malcolm Brown, it's in a way, it's sort of a blessing in disguise having him out there early, just kind of proving that he is the ham and egger that he is. I just don't think he's got staying power as a regular eight carry a week kind of guy. I think he's going to go away. I really do.
He's ham and egg, and his results are cheese. That's what it is.
Exactly. I like cheese.
Yeah, ham, egg, and cheese, though. Ham and egg, or ham, egg, actually, Taylor ham, egg, and cheese on a bagel.
I have not had breakfast yet. Yeah,
I'm hungry. How far, I want to bring up DVR, Ryan Grollo's question. How far has Calvin Ridley fallen? The Calvin Ridley and Devonta Smith for Mike Williams and CeeDee Lamb. The question is, it's a fair trade. Close, but I'm easily taking Lamb and Williams in this one, despite Lamb having two down weeks in a row. I actually think Lamb is a terrific buy low.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah, and this is a smash for me in Mike Williams and CeeDee Lamb's favor. I would sell Devonta Smith. Like, you know, if people getting excited about that. I mean, I think he can do that again, but man, I just don't think that the Eagles are going to have consistency in that passing game at all. I mean, you know, we've seen that play out. Devonta Smith's had a couple good games, couple bad games. Gets the targets, that's fine. But I just
air yards.
Air yards.
He was actually one of my buy lows this week.
This year's Henry Ruggs, you know, the rookie Henry.
No,
Ruggs.
No, because he's actually catching them.
Well, he is sometimes.
Yeah, Henry Ruggs was one of the top five in unrealized air yards last year. They're all on the field because Derek Carr was never hitting them. I wanted to go back to this, and not to come back to the Falcons though. But how concerned are we about Calvin Ridley at this point? Because I can't remember who tweeted it, and I was trying to find it. And I was trying to look for it because somebody else said something, and then somebody came back, and it was like, I want to say it was like Rudy Gambler or somebody like that now that I was thinking about it more. But it was somebody from that site, and they were saying that Calvin Ridley's never been that great after the catch. He's been very reliant on his air yards per target. And if Matt Ryan is playing this level, which is subpar Matt Ryan, even with those four touchdowns yesterday, 6.6 yards per attempt or completion yesterday. I think it was attempt. So anyway, point being, he's kind of really taken a step back. Calvin Ridley even a wide receiver one right now?
Well, I think the problem is he's just not finding the end zone. He's been a good end zone scorer, but, like, you know, no worse than 50 yards. He's been between 50 and 80 every week. I mean, I want every wide receiver
no hundreds.
No, but I want every wide receiver in the league that's getting an average of 10 or more targets per game. And I'm just looking back to last year, week 6 through week 12, he went 61 yards, 69 yards, 42 yards, 90 yards, 50 yards. Like, but the difference was he scored three touchdowns in that stretch. And then he went on a 100-yard run. So
like, is this just who Ridley is with
that? Well, I think it's, I think it's, again, it's an offensive line issue. I mean, Kyle Pitts is the same way, right? They're both seeing decent, like, targets you'd be happy with. It's just, you know, they're not really resulting in a whole lot. And Atlanta's just having, like, the, you know, like I said last week, I think that they're like the Pittsburgh of the NFC. I think they're in a little bit better shape than Pittsburgh is. And I don't know if we want to talk about that passing game, but
sure we can. But I want to ask you a question first.
Okay.
Would you rather rest the season, Kyle Pitts or TJ Hockenson?
TJ Hockenson.
Really? See, I'm still taking Pitts. Mostly because what my long-term concern was of Hockenson is that his quarterback is Jared Goff. But even if his quarterback wasn't Jared Goff, who are defenses paying attention to? Hockenson and nobody else. Like, that's the problem. Okay, Khalif Raymond this week. Okay, the week before is Quintus Cephas. Okay, the week before, like, it doesn't matter because you're just, this past 2 weeks is what my concern was, is that defense would do this, and they are smart because, hey, they're in the NFL and these coaches have real NFL jobs, is that just take away Hockenson and force Jared Goff to try to beat you with the most subpar wide receiving crew you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been a thing, like, you know, you talk about with Darren Waller or with George Kittle. They've had those.
But the difference is they're getting fed. Jared Goff's not feeding Hockenson to that level.
Well, he's tried. He tried. Even in this game, like, he was trying to go to him. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me how many targets Hockenson ended up having. It wasn't a big game, but I did not feel like he disappeared in any way, shape, or form. And
eight.
I mean, you take that.
Only catching four. The week before against Baltimore.
But Kyle Pitts had like eight, and he caught five. You know, it's like they're not wholly
different. I don't even care if he caught five. They're coming from Jared Goff. But that's what I'm saying.
But what is a 36-year-old, whatever Matt Ryan is now, behind that offensive line? How much better is he than Jared Goff at this point?
Because he's better because with Pitts, you're getting the same target volume, which I'm looking at, and the same receiving volume, and the fact that he's catching half of them. But you're getting better yardage production on that per target basis, and you have Ridley to pull the tension away. I'm not saying it's not close.
Yeah.
It's a complete, very, very slim margin between the two. But for that, and I bring this up to say, because of how Hockenson started with those first 2 weeks, I'm just saying, like, I still think you could get Hockenson for Pitts, but you could get more with Pitts. Like, Pitts would bring an extra piece to get Hockenson. And that's what that's the reason I brought this up.
Oh, you think that on the open market.
On the open market. Head to the black market where you make your trades, unlike the open market. On the market, that Hockenson is going to pull more trade value than Pitts still.
Okay. Well, if you can get a piece with Kyle Pitts for Hockenson, I'm on board. Yeah. But I'm literally thinking we're talking about tight end five and tight end six here, or tight end four and tight end five. It's like, it's a good problem to have because.
I'm going
to
ask you a meaning question I asked him.
Okay.
Dawson Knox or Robert Tonyan the rest of the way?
Honestly, I would be okay with just streaming at if I'm that far down. But like,
I actually think Dawson Knox is above streaming at this point.
Yeah,
man. I was the most hesitant. I legitimately said after weeks one and two, like, I can't, because you're hoping to be the fourth best option in this offense. But it's an offense that continues to pass. And when they get into the red zone, what's one of Josh Allen's first looks? It's the Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
And what do we joke about this all the time and say, all you got to do is catch a 1 yard pass for a touchdown and you finish as a tight end one for the week. If he's going to keep looking at Dawson Knox and giving him these red zone and end zone targets.
Well, okay.
That's what we wanted Tonyan for. Tonyan's not getting them.
So how different is that than Dalton Schultz or Max Williams? High octane offenses. They keep getting looks. Like, I think you could put all these guys in the same group. That's why I'm saying we're close to streaming range, because all these guys are basically out there in a lot of leagues.
Here's the difference in what I was saying is what I just was finishing saying with that was the red zone and end zone targets. Knox is one of the leaders for his teams. Those other guys aren't. That's where the difference comes in. And if I'm going to chase the tight end position and I'm not going to try to, I'm not saying he's definitively not in the conversation to be a potential streamer. I'm just saying, Tyler Conklin, everybody loved Tyler Conklin this week. I had Tyler Conklin as a top 16 tight end this week, and he kind of got left out. Where I'm saying is, like, if I picked up Knox, I'm just going to sit there. Like, I'm not dropping Knox to chase. Who do the Buffalo Bills play this week? Let's check. Let's look real quick. Let's check the schedule. That's what he
played. Playing Kansas City on Sunday
and who's
night.
Minnesota playing? Minnesota's playing Detroit. Perfect. This is perfect. They're at Kansas City. Minnesota's playing Detroit. I'm not dropping Knox to go get Conklin. That's my point. It's like, I'm holding Knox for now instead of trying to chase the production.
Yeah, I'm
Tonyan's at Cincinnati. I'm still holding Knox.
Well, to answer your original question, yes, I would take Knox over Tonyan. But I'm just saying there's a lot of kind of emerging tight ends in this range now all of a sudden. There's a lot of guys to be interested in. And I actually think Dan Arnold only caught two balls, but that was like, he was traded to that team, like, what, 3 days earlier? And he looked really good. And I think he can be in this conversation, ultimately as well. So, I mean, they lose DJ Chark.
See, I put all these guys in the next conversation. I'm going to say it. I think Dawson Knox has moved himself out of that conversation.
I think he's the low end. I think Dawson Knox is the first guy. in this
in the group. All right, so for me, he's Alvin Kamara now. He's in the island of his own. He's
okay,
there.
I have
hanging
him,
out.
I have him as Ezekiel Elliott. He's in the he's the first in that.
Okay, and that's fair. Like I have him hanging out with Tupac on that island that, where he's hanging out. Where he's still alive.
I want to be. How
Tupac comes
I
back
be on
for
an
the halftime show.
Tupac.
Tupac's gonna come back for the halftime show. That's what he's doing.
Not, he's waiting
he's
for gonna get the hologram.
The Super Bowl.
He's gonna get the hologram.
He's gonna pop back up. I wanted to get back to. What was the one where now I just spaced? What was the one that I said I'll come back to that you brought up when we were talking about this whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Now you can't even remember either.
I can't remember either.
People in the chat, help me out. DVR, help me out. What was the one that I said I want to get back to?
It's receivers. Yeah. This is,
I remember. So while I'm waiting,
this is podcasting gold right here.
See, this is why you need the Bella. We need the Bella rundown for this one. That's what it is. I'm going to look down the Carolina. You brought that up from where Darren Arnold used to play, and I didn't want to talk about Carolina because Hubbard looked good.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's taking the rushing touchdowns away from him. Holy crap. But
he's running
Hubbard,
he's running RPO, like he's running like or in running like options, you know, and what's going on? What's going on with Sam Darnold at the goal line? This is crazy.
Who has more rushing upside, Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones?
Daniel
Jones. I just had a deja vu.
I know
I never asked that question before, but I just had a deja vu.
I would go Daniel Jones.
The Matrix is falling apart behind me. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, Darnold's not getting those. He's not taking those away from CMC when he comes back.
No, but Hubbard locked into your lineup until CMC gets back. Did you see enough?
Yeah, I thought he looked great. What I was a little bit worried about, just kind of like, was like, oh, are they going to make Royce Freeman more of a thing? And they didn't really.
Right.
I mean, it was really just Hubbard, and that was great to see. And he looked good. And I don't see how that would change a whole lot going forward, knock on wood.
Okay. Then Robbie Anderson, did you see enough to get back into Robbie Anderson?
We get 11 targets, so that was nice. He's not, but then it was ugly. It was ugly 11. It was, what was it, 6 for 49 or whatever it was? It's like, yeah, I'm not cutting him. He's sticking around. I'm probably not starting him. I'm going to let this one develop more. We're going to hope that the volume continues and that actually the volume's more meaningful going forward.
Okay, Robbie Anderson or Curtis Samuel?
I'm going Robbie Anderson. I mean, what do we get? What do we get? Are you? Oh, okay, interesting. Talk
to me.
Talk
first game back. First game back. Curtis Samuel, first game back. This is the excitement everybody had 2-3 months ago. That Curtis Samuel was standing there like, oh my God, he's not part of a trio anymore. He's only part of a duo alongside Terry McLaurin. And on top of this, I already was leaning Curtis Samuel, but the fact that Logan Thomas is out on top of this is where I'm going with the Curtis.
That's true.
And also, this is I told Meanie, this is why I wore the, this is, by the way, if you can't see, this is the Konami Code shirt, what we used to joke about running quarterbacks. Tyler Haneke, we're kind of putting him in the fringe QB1 conversation at this point, are we not? Slap some respect on the Tyler Haneke name, man.
He's another one of these guys. I'm getting tired of like having to rank these quarterbacks that aren't good at throwing the ball high because they can run.
300 yards.
He
and 3 touchdowns.
He is a pick 6 waiting to happen. He doesn't have a strong arm.
I'm about to reach through the screen and strangle you. I mean, I know that's true.
I've watched enough of him this year. It's like,
he's reckless.
He's a replacement level arm with some good, but with some good, you know, he's what you call the quote unquote gamer with some rushing upside. And I don't know. He'll be in the league a long time. Backing up, kind of being in and out, but I just don't love his arm talent at all.
You cannot love his arm. I don't love Daniel Jones' arm talent.
Well, I like the fact that Daniel Jones at least has an arm. Like, I just don't think
Tyler Haneke has an arm. He just makes some stupid throws, just like Daniel Jones. Tyler Haneke is top 10 the last 3 weeks since actually being the starter for Washington. He is top 10, 20 points,
right.
21 points, and then whatever he scored yesterday, which is like close to 30.
Yes, I get how the reality and the fantasy don't always match up. When it comes to quarterbacks, like I just don't think Heineke is that great. But yeah, I mean, in a pinch,
saying top 10 DVR. I was just saying in the QB1 conversation.
Like I don't want to
here.
I don't want to start him against New Orleans this week. I won't rank him in my top 20.
Daniel Jones just tore up New Orleans.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. I just I'm not
so much for that scary run defense, which that's actually, I still think that's a legitimate run defense to be concerned about when middle, like I would have never played Mike Davis against that.
Yeah,
run defense.
We know good defense,
but that's
the
testament
bad
to
weeks.
Saquon Barkley. All right, here, I'm going to go Tyler Haneke or Kirk Cousins.
Cousins is going against who again?
I didn't say who. Well, I just without looking
the rest of the year, I'm taking Kirk Cousins.
Well, Fitzpatrick might come back and you never know. I'm just saying,
well, okay,
independent of each other.
I would rather have Kirk Cousins.
Okay, you're wrong. Kirk, Ryan Tannehill.
Has Kirk Cousins finished
Haneke?
One time? Kirk Cousins Tannehill? Been outside the QB1 class 1 year in his career.
Yeah, ask all the Vegas people betting how they feel about that game yesterday. Everybody was smashing that over.
That was like a 1973
Super
Bowl.
Tannehill. Heineke versus Tannehill.
Tannehill.
No.
Yes, Tannehill had nobody to work with, and he didn't look that bad. He was actually.
You know what he's had to work with the first 3 weeks? Plenty of things, and he still isn't even scoring 20 points. Tannehill's looked like garbage the first three games.
I thought Tannehill looked fine yesterday. They didn't lose because of Tannehill yesterday.
No, but they're not winning because of Tannehill.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. Do you think Heineke has that much sway over the football team?
So everybody watching on YouTube, thumbs up if you're Tyler Haneke over Tannehill, and thumbs up if you are still Tannehill. You see what I did there? Thumbs up the damn show. That's what I'm saying. And slap some respect on Heineke's name before we get out of here. Oh, that's who we wanted to talk about. Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's,
who it
that's
was.
Right. Yes. Oh, my God.
Thanks for the help, everybody.
I didn't really want to talk about him.
Why? Deontay, man. Deontay looks great.
He actually survived a game without, you know, apparently.
Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris. Here's what I'm going to ask you, Brandon. And sorry, Alex and anybody else who heard me ask Meanie. I was about to say Funston. Meanie this question. But I'm asking you the same exact question. Two-part level question. Juju Smith-Schuster benchable? Juju Smith-Schuster droppable?
I'm benching him. He had 8 targets still, and there was like a misfire.
And one busted tablet.
Yeah. Well, Roethlisberger missed him on a touchdown and missed him on a 40-yarder. You know, like there was points to be had there that were left on the table, and he did get the 8 targets. And we've seen this is the same Juju as last year. He's getting these short area targets, but you know, over a 17-game season, that could add up to 90 catches still. So
could. Well, let me put it this way, Brandon. If we said the jersey name was James Washington, would you feel the same way? I mean, honestly, like, well, are we just living off the past with Juju Smith-Schuster at this point?
Well, track record matters, and it's the same.
But how much of a track record does he have?
But it's 1 year.
He basically ran like one lap.
1 year ago, like, what was he, 90-some catches?
2 years ago.
No, last year.
It wasn't last year. It was 2 years.
Last year, he had, like, 90 catches.
Oh, no, but last year, he had 800 yards and a bunch of touchdowns. He still had, a low – like, that's what – last year was a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, but that's what he is. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He is.
No, okay, well, that's good. I'm glad you said that because that's the – I think that's what it is that we should stop hoping for better.
Oh, absolutely. I have no hope for him to be, you know, pushing top 20 week in and week out. I just have no hope for that. But I think he's – you know, you kind of start to think about him like Cole Beasley or someone like that who gets decent amount of volume. It doesn't always
add up. Which is a bitter pill to swallow for a lot of people, though.
I don't know. How many people were really paying up heavily on him? Like, I don't feel...
Not paying up, but they expected Juju Smith-Schuster, that, especially at the beginning of the year, when in two wide, Claypool's the one on the bench.
Right.
That we could get back to being a top 25 wide receiver.
Well, I just think Pittsburgh is the toughest watch for me in football right now. Like that offense is
to watch Ben
so bad. It's so bad. It's got to end. Something's got to change. But it's rough. So yeah, I mean it's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people.
All right, we have an extra. I'm going to ask one more question before we get out of here. Nando DeFino actually gave us the day off from our meeting, so we don't have to end in 1 minute. Actually, right now. So I'm going to ask one more question. We're not going to keep going, but we're going to ask one more question before we get out of here. It's going to preface by, this isn't a question, just continue our celebration of Michael Carter. Yay!
Yeah.
It's continuing slowly. It's happening. It's happening. This is what I want to get out of here on. It's your team, Brandon. Tell everybody, how concerned should we be about Chris Carson?
A little bit, because he wasn't hurt. And I was watching Chris Carson early on, and he kind of came out of college there saying, like, he's this beast of a guy who runs too tentatively, and he changed his style, but I felt like he was back to running tentatively. It was weird. He was not just smashing, and I wonder if that was in the equation for Pete's thinking and putting in Alex Collins to give him somebody who's just, you know, you see the way Alex Collins runs. He's like, you know, hair's on fire the way he runs, and it's, you know, they needed
that. A lot of hair to be on fire, too.
I don't think he's going away. The problem was Chris Carson wasn't getting, like, 20 carries. You know, he was getting, like, 14, and now if you start giving, like, Alex Collins 10, like, this could be a legit, you know, oh, it's this week, it's Carson 12 carries, Collins 10 or 9, and suddenly, yeah, I think it's a bit concerning for Chris Carson going forward that Alex Collins.
Carson had 13, 15, and 15, and then 3.6 yesterday, fantasy-wise.
Yeah, what was his carries totals?
13 for 30. Oh, in those games?
Yeah.
Interesting enough, 13 for 31 in week two, but he scored twice.
Right.
Outside of that, 16 for 91 at 5.7 a carry, 12 for 80 against Minnesota at 6.7.
Yeah, this has kind of been the thing where he's been in the low to mid-teens since last year. Like early on, he was a guy that they
I was gonna say, you know, the last time he had over 20 carries was week 15 of 2019.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're just trying to keep him healthy, and you know, yeah, I think this is going to be.
He never, despite averaging 4.8 yards per carry last year, he never rushed for more than 80 yards last season.
Yeah, I think it's a correction in my rankings going forward, is that I'm going to assume that's the volume's going to be about that, and that Alex Collins is going to be mixing in more going forward. Who they got this week? I should know this because it's Seattle. The Rams on Thursday night. You know,
they're beatable at the goal line.
Am I ranking Chris Carter in my top 20 running backs? What do you think?
No, you're not.
I'm not.
No,
yeah,
you're not.
I'm not.
And before we get out of here, Andy Dalton, once again, Matt Nagy said, is the starter when healthy for everybody.
Hey, Matt Nagy says they know what they're doing, so don't question him.
Hey, Bill Lazor actually got to call some of the plays, and that's it. Hey, you go anything from Matt Nagy to Lazor, and look, you can open up Justin Fields.
Well, look at
that's not saying a
whole lot. I told Brad Evans.
I was trying to close the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had to say this. Matt Nagy's handed over his play calling duties. You know, remember Montgomery's eagerly anticipated 6-game soft schedule last year at the end of the year? Like, Nagy, right before that, hands over his play calling duties to Bill Lazor. And then this year, when does he hand him over? Right before Detroit. Like, kind of just trying to job security, he's terrible at making these decisions when it comes to the right times for doing these things.
Matt Nagy is Adam Gase, part two. I said it a million times. Yes, he is just the new version, 2.0. Unfortunately, that usually means you're doing better, maybe negative 2.0. But we'll be back on Thursday. See you with the ranks. We'll figure all that out and whether or not we'll find out where Funston ranks Chris Carson. Well, I'll make sure Beller puts that on the schedule. He's coming back actually every single day. Make sure you're checking out the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast and all the podcasting network and everything over there. He's Brandon Funston. I'm Jake Seeley. Michael Beller will be back. Thanks to DVR for filling in, producing in the background. We'll see you guys later.